AMS is a premier substance use disorder treatment facility in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. AMS specializes in outpatient counseling services for individuals struggling with substance use disorders. Evidence-based, client-centered care is their main focus. AMS offers over 30 different group therapy options a month, individualized counseling sessions, and the options of receiving medication assistance. Your treatment is in your hands. AMS currently accepts Delaware and Maryland Medicaid, Medicare, and VA benefits. For help, call 302-227-1320 and schedule your intake appointment today. All right, good morning and welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom. February 3rd, 2021. How's everybody? excuse me. It's another day, right? Some coffee. I tell you this, I don't know about you. Can I talk to you for a minute? Can I bend your ear for a second? This fucking coronavirus shit is fucking aggravating the shit out of me. It is testing me. It's testing all of us. It's so bizarre. I mean, you know, right, a virus, blah, blah. But just the aftermath, you know, the grind of this fucking virus and this pandemic, just grinding us. All right, you know, fine. It took away the ability to not wear masks, right? So now we have to wear masks. At one point, it determined how we walked around in stores with arrows and how many of us could be in it. Grinding us. Can't go out, can't go to restaurants. I mean, we can, but, you know, anybody I talk to, they're like, who wants to go to a restaurant and sit and eat with a mask on? I mean, it's just no fun. So you end up going, I guess we'll have to stay home and cook like we used to. It's just grinding and grinding all of the things that we used to do away, all the fun things. So fine, it's grinding us down. So finally we're like, fine, we won't go out, we'll stay home, we'll keep social distance. You know, so it's taken our, really the ability to do stuff, the movies, the concerts, the games, the shows, all the fun stuff we did, basically a year ago today, grinded it all away. And then it starts grinding on relationships, personal relationships, relationships that have been fine. Grinding and grinding. You know, Sam's mother and I, we are divorced. And we have a fine relationship, you know. She's in a relationship, I'm remarried. Everybody's happy. My wife likes Kathleen, and she likes my wife. So it's one big, happy, freaking family, right? Which is good. But this weekend, Sam got sick. And Sam came back on Monday, came back to our house. And, you know, he's throwing up, stuffy nose, sore throat, right? You know, a year ago that he would have a cold or a respiratory infection or a sinus cold or something, right? But now everything's corona. And you know, I told my ex-wife, I said, if this happens again, we need to have an agreement, the two of us, her and I, that if someone, like if one of our kids is sick at our house, we need to just go ahead and keep them until we can get everything squared away, because it just creates so much fucking drama, right? Because nobody wants the corona. We don't want to die. It's all death. You know, so he's sick. She takes him to the doctor. He gets a test. You know, we thought that the doctor said that we would know the results by the end of the day, right? So I pick him up. I take him with me. I got him home. But then I'm like, so he's in the car. And I'm like, you know, buddy, maybe you want to put your mask on. I'm going to put mine on. So now him and I are riding in the car. My my wonderful little baby boy, Sammy boy, and I'm making him put a mask on. Because I don't want to get corona, right? Because I have a small business. I can't. I mean, if I get it or expose, you're supposed to shut yourself down for 14 days. So I'm like, bro, let's just put our mask on until we get the results later. That way we'll be safe. Okay. So now my wife is like, how come he came back without being tested? I'm like, I don't know. All of a sudden, this slight little infighting, right? And when you have a, I don't know if anybody out there has a blended family. I mean, we have a blended family. I have two boys. My wife has a daughter. We're all blended up, right? And we do great. I love Teresa. Teresa loves me. I'm her daddy. You know, unfortunately, her father passed, so, you know, I'm all she's got. I mean, she has other family, but I'm the man. I'm daddy. And we do fine. But when it comes to these little situations, man, you know, it's tough. It is tough. And it's been a tough couple days. And so, you know, everybody's freaked out. I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm like, Sam, you got to stay in your bedroom. We got to just shut the door. You got to stand here. And he's crying. You know, we're not the family that stays in our rooms. You know, we're the kind of family, we're always together. You know, my wife and I usually sit in the living room, watch TV. The kids are in the old dining room, which used to have a dining room table. Now it has computer gaming set up in there. So they play games and computers. And, you know, Teresa's usually running around. And it's just, we spend our time together. And to tell him that he had to go stay in his room, he was not happy. And it broke my heart. But my wife, of course, she know. And listen, I get this. And it's no disrespect to her. But, you know, when, you know, you blend as much as you can. But what in the end, you know, we love the kids we love. And it just tests, you know, just tests. When it's your baby, you do anything. But when it's your husband's child, you do anything to a point. And then you start having, you know, opinions. And that's what this corona's done. It's created this kind of thing. You know, my wife and I don't go through this. We're really, you know, she keeps me on the straight and narrow. She's, you know, keeps me, you know, walking the line, which I appreciate. But this corona, man, it's starting to test us. You know, the questions. Never mind, I don't want to forget it. You know, how, you know, basically, the question is, why is Sam home? He should have stayed with his mother. So you try to figure out how to weed through that without hurting feelings and starting fights and breaking up relationships that have been so great for so long. And I told Kathleen last night, I said, listen, man, if this happens again, we need to keep, if he gets sick on my watch, I need to keep him until he has a clean test. If he gets sick on your watch, you need to keep him until you get him tested and he gets the results and we're good. Because it just creates too much animosity. And I'm asking him, like, where'd you go? I mean, where, you know, when you're with your mother, where did you guys go out? You know, and maybe maybe 2 months ago, people were kind of doing things. But now it's like, did you go out? No, where are we going to, there's nothing to do. It's grinding us and grinding us and grinding us down. And so now I'm like, what did you guys go do? Because now I'm pissed because she's pissed. It's like this internal cancer. I'm like, what'd you guys go do? We didn't do anything. We had a bonfire out back, and it was just, you know, the three of us or four of us, and it was outside, it was fire. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. That, you know, that can't be it. So then everybody's like, did Sam get his test? And I'm like, oh, my God. And so finally, you know, Sam's crying, and I go, listen, why don't you, put on a few masks. And you can come out. So we put on 3 masks. Not that, listen, I know you all just right now said masks don't help. They don't, but they do. But they don't, but they do. I mean, you know, you just, you don't want to, if he has, you don't want to, I don't know. Whatever. I had him put on three. If they don't work, maybe three does work. I don't know, but we locked him up. And he hung out, and, you know, and that was yesterday, or that was the day before, and then we never heard back from the doctor. So yesterday, you know, Sam stayed home, and you know, he stayed in his room, and my wife's like, I thought you said he stayed in his room all day. He says he was outside or out in the living room playing video games. And I'm like, no, he was in his room all day. It's just started this infighting. Questioning. And, oh, my God. And then finally, my ex-wife calls me last night and she says, I got Sam's test and they're negative. I'm like, of course. And Sam the whole time's like, I know I don't have corona. I have a cold. But this is what it's done. It makes us freaking paranoid. And my older son has a driver's ed test today. I said, why don't you ask your mom if you can take you, if she can take you. And, you know, then the question of Sam being sick came up. And then David told her, oh, he got his test results and he's negative. He's negative. Well, she goes, well, what happens if it's a false negative? I mean, what the fuck? Is this what we're going to do? Is this what we're going to do now? It's going to be this, you know, I mean, it's the test. It's the test they gave him. He was sick, throwing up. They gave him the test. The test came back negative. And, you know, what more can you do? It just breaks my heart.
If we have faith in each other.
I think the... I love that song. I love that song. We're doing a playlist for this other podcast, and we're doing it on Unplugged. If anybody wants to check out some great playlists, check out our other podcast, the New Music Discovery Podcast with JG and the Deaf Pretty Boys. Great. I don't know if the podcast is great. We have a lot of fun doing it. I love it. But we end up with some great playlists on Spotify under JG and the Deaf Pretty Boys or the New Discovery Music Podcast. Great playlist. This week is on Unplugged, the MTV show Unplugged, and so I had to find some Unplugged stuff, and so I forgot George Michael's was on Unplugged. Great, great show, great song. So, you know, the point is the struggle, because honestly, this is all to be expected, you know. First, this virus separates us from, you know, the masks, and then it starts separating us from the ability to do stuff out, and then we kind of settle in and surrender, and then we're kind of sitting in our houses and not doing much, and then it starts kind of undermining our relationships. And it's all about testing and negative testing and positive testing. I mean, what more of a fucked up situation can you create to create a virus that can be spread if you're sick or not sick? You can test positive or not positive. You can be positive, or I mean, you can be negative and then be positive an hour later. I mean, it's starting to, and thank God we got the vaccine. I don't even, you know, and then they're like, you know, the vaccine may not fix it. You know, still might have a problem. But, you know, it starts undermining our relationships and the bonds that we have and testing all this shit. And it's just, I don't know what the end looks like. All of us, you know, divorced, living by ourselves, you know, with five masks on and holed up in a hut, you know. And then but the fucked up part is what it starts doing to my persona, my person, my character, my serenity, right? You know, David's mom's like, well, I can't take you because even though Sam got a negative test, it could be a false negative. And I'm like, well, fuck, tell her. If she ever wants to come and pick you up and take you out anywhere, she needs to bring a positive, clean corona test. And when she does provide the test that shows she's been clean, I'm going to tell her it could have been a false positive or a false negative. That's where I want to go with it. Fuck you. But that's not very good kind of thinking. You know, but that's the kind of shit this stuff does. And it does it to me. I'm not saying this happens to everybody. Everyone's probably fine. I'm insane. Fuck that. I'm insane. So, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Because what in the end am I worried about? Drinking, right? I mean, that's what I'm worried about. I mean, that's what it ends up. It's either drinking, screwing women, taking drugs, spending too much money. It's one of the four that's going to show up if I do not start sending in the A-team and checking myself. And checking myself means, what am I, what's happening to me? How am I being inconvenienced? The first thing that happens, you know, when someone questions like a test or my son being sick with coronavirus, you're testing, how would I say it? You're questioning the quality of my son. That's how I feel. Like you're saying, oh, my son he's got a problem, right? I get very defensive when it comes to my kids. You know, my kids are, you know, they're not my everything, but they're my everything. I love my freaking kids, man. They're so awesome. And you know what I love the most is being a father, being a dad. That privilege doesn't happen unless you have kids, right? I mean, you can be a father. I mean, I've seen people fathering their puppies and dogs and cats and turtles and shit, but you know, a parent of a kid is, you know, it's a father, and it's a privilege, and I love it. I love to be a parent. But that this corona thing, this it starts questioning, you know. Like, and then I want to say, well, if it was your kid, you wouldn't make him stay in the room, or you wouldn't treat your kid this way, because this is one of the challenges with blended families, right? Because it's all good when it's good, but when it's bad, we separate and divide. And, you know, a real, not a real family, but a more traditional family, unblended, you know, just marriage, children together, you know, there is no separation and divide, right? But when you get a blended family, all of a sudden we all go to our other teams. And it's just, it's a challenge. I don't know, is anybody else having this issue? Or is it just insane me? Because that would not surprise me. Let me read. Let's do some reading. I got to do another podcast. And then, you know, the weather. It's crazy.
The weather.
All right, here we go. Straighten me out, daily reflections. Put me back on track. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. I appreciate it. February 3rd, filling the void. All right. Roll up your sleeves, everybody. Here we go. We're going to fill up the void. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? That's a great question. As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we empathetically assure him that he is on the way. I love that. Surrendering, right? It's a surrender. I was always fascinated with the study of scientific principles. I was emotionally and physically distant from people who I pursued absolute knowledge. God and spirituality were meaningless academic exercises. I was a modern man of science. Knowledge was my higher power. Given the right set of equations, life was merely another problem to solve. Yet my inner self was dying from my outer man's solutions to life's problems, and the solution was alcohol. In spite of my intelligence, alcohol became my higher power. It was through the unconditional love which emanated from AA people and meetings that I was able to discard alcohol as my higher power. The great void was filled. I was no longer lonely and apart from life. I had found a true power, greater than myself. I had found God's love. There is only one equation which really matters to me now. God is in AA. Yeah, that's great. Very great. You know, sometimes I think about, so I heard somebody say on something, I was watching something, and they said, hell is life without God. So hell is a byproduct of something else. Like hell isn't, this is just kind of what I took from it. But hell isn't a place, but if you remove certain things out of your life, that's what's left. And, you know, it's, for me, when I came into this program, a me living, I'm here, where's my higher power, where's my spiritual awakening, where's mine, mine, give it, where is it? Over there? Okay, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to look, because I want what I want. I couldn't find it. You know, I talked about it the other day, there maybe yesterday, about, you know, my relationship, trying to build a relationship with God in rehab, because I think I wanted to look like everybody else. I wanted to be like everybody else. I wanted to fit in. You know, I'm always, you know, I'm that, what's that lizard, the gecko or whatever, the lizard that's always changing. I'm that lizard. You know, I don't bring anything original. You know, I go to rehab, these people are putting their hands in the air. I want to be part of that. I'm putting my hands in the air. I always want, there's always, in everything I was doing, and still today, you know, unfortunately, everything I do is pleasing me somehow. And I shouldn't say everything, but, you know, I'm not going to act like it isn't happening either. But back then, everything I was doing, I was unaware. Everything I was doing was about pleasing me. Am I going to look better? Am I going to sound better? Are people going to appreciate me more? Me. And, So, you know, coming to AA, and I wanted a spiritual awakening. I wanted a higher power. I wanted a sponsor. I wanted everything. Me, me, me. And some of these things are a byproduct of getting rid of some other shit. I mean, I'm not sure that these things are there. They're only there when the work is done, and then from the work, this comes from it. And I think that's the way it is with a higher power, a spiritual awakening, that relationship with God. The first thing I learned about my relationship with a higher power is it's basically me telling on myself. That's it. I ask for nothing. There's nothing I get. But when I say, "Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough for this. I'm turning it over to you." Immediately I get something, and it's called peace, relief. But that wasn't the relationship. That wasn't the outcome that I thought it was. What I had initially looked for was, "Dear God, I want a bike." Bing, a bike falls out of the sky. I didn't realize that I was going to need to do some sort of work. And what I thought I was getting was, in the end, not a bike. But it was peace. But I didn't know I was so fucked up. So, you know, peace is not what I was in search of. But today, it's all that I care about. And, you know, I'll say a prayer like last night. I say, "You know, God, I don't know what to do about this. It's testing me. Because I really just want to flip over the table, kick everybody in the damn chest, and leave. That's what inside wants to do. I just want to get out of there. I don't want to have the conversation. Testing and all this bullshit. But I have to say, God, I'm not strong enough for this. I'm turning it over to you. My shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning it over to you." And it starts to fix it. But what's most important is that I trust that. I trust that. If I bring my honesty, if I really expose my fears to my higher power and I say it out loud, my higher power will take half of that away from me, half of that anxiety. Every time I share something, it takes half the power of it away. I believe it and I trust it and I use it, and I'm freaking so blessed and grateful to even have that in my life. So, I will be your preacher.
till the end. Time.